On this holiday weekend, we offer grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ to all who gather in person and to those who gather online on this fourth Sunday after Pentecost 2025. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and the service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer and special musicians Michael Judd and Deanne McCormick. Our liturgists today are Jerry Fuller and Pastor Rachel Garris. Looks like they're ready to go, okay? Today is Communion Sunday, as you can see, and just a reminder that we celebrate open communion here at Mayflower as all are invited to the table. We have heard personal stories this summer in the Friendship Center during coffee hour. You will be hearing more, but today, as part of the 4th of July weekend, yours truly, that would be me, will share a pastoral take on our national anthem, patriotic music, including some of my favorites, two of which we will sing together, if you want to sing along. Hope you can stay, as we will also fellowship with each other and enjoy some snacks and beverages like iced tea and coffee. One of the charities our church has faithfully and generally supported in the last few years is with an organization called Soaring Unlimited, which sponsors baby boxes for Haiti that many of you are familiar with and have contributed to. It provides training and support for expectant mothers and a safe place for babies who may be brought into this world into a dwelling with a dirt floor. So, it is with sadness that I share with you the passing of Dorothy Fredrickson. Many of you remember for several years she came on a particular Sunday following the first of the year to share the needs and the challenges and also her thanksgiving to this congregation, which she appreciated so much, and our continued support. But Dorothy Fredrickson passed away on June 27th. And she does have a memorial service, I think, planned for July 12th. I think it'll be at the Holt United Methodist Church. I'll try to get more information on that as it becomes available. She did love this church and shared capably the mission she founded and passionately advocated for and made sure that the ministry would go on after her passing. Please be aware of our worship protocol, which includes the fact that we do not pass offering plates during the service, but share in a moment during worship where we all offer ourselves to God. And our mission statement is also printed in the bulletin each week. Today's worship theme is the necessity of risk, taken from a passage in Luke 10, where Jesus sends 70 disciples ahead of him on the dangerous trip to Jerusalem, Jesus' last trip there. He sent them with very little other than the clothes on their backs, which increased the risk. Let us now be in a spirit of worship.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
It is good to see all of you today in church on a holiday weekend. I hope you had a fun and safe 4th of July. Our worship theme today carries forward the idea of risk and the necessity of it. The very essence of our faith involves risk and uncertainty. The disciples found this out when they traveled with Jesus on his final journey to Jerusalem. While we all have different personalities and have different experiences, taking risks of love and understanding with people who are different from us, with people who do not return our love, and with people who could be considered our enemies is difficult. As human beings, we are not wired for that kind of risk. That is why we need God's help. That is also why we gather for church every week. And that is why Pastor Mark has chosen today's lectionary scripture and theme. Let us open our hearts and minds as we sing, pray, listen, reflect, and gather at the table of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and loving author of our faith, we have gathered with your beloved community today in worship and fellowship. We love the familiar surroundings and the familiar faces of those we love and who love us. In our consideration of the risks the first disciples took when they responded to the call to follow Jesus, let us honestly examine the areas in our own spiritual journeys where we might take greater risks to love unconditionally, to serve sacrificially, and to give generously. We pray that in this high hour of worship, you would penetrate the walls of resistance, remove our fear, and challenge our complacency to become motivated disciples, willing to take risks, which will result in a better world for our neighbors, both near and far. Thank you, O Lord, for the strength in numbers as we join with your entire beloved community to take the risks of love and service demonstrated by the Christ we serve, in whose name we pray. Amen.
have to travel to France to hear a French horn. We hear French horns here in the U.S., but I'm sure it's been quite a while since we've heard a French horn in worship. Thank you, Michael. We are born with brains that are wired for selfishness. You can see this in small children, and sometimes it extends well into adulthood and even beyond. Here's the question. Does the process of natural maturity change us or change when a child begins to demonstrate unselfishness? Or is something else going on here? My contention is that this change, if there is one, happens because the process is modeled and taught. The beloved community should be a place where generosity and unselfishness are modeled and taught. On my 8th anniversary in this pulpit today, I can attest to the fact that these traits have been modeled and taught to me. So keep up the good work, Mayflower, as we now present to God our time, our talents, our treasures, and our very selves in this holy moment of worship. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and just God, you are the defender of the poor, the shelter for the oppressed, and the one who hears the cry of the widow, the stranger, and the orphan. So, today, many hearts are heavy as we witness policies passed in high places that disregard the needs of the vulnerable, choices that seem to turn a deaf ear to the ancient cries of the prophets, who warned against trampling the heads of the poor into the dust of the earth. Yet, we cannot and do not despair. And we remember that the arc of your kingdom bends toward justice, and you call us still to walk humbly, to act justly, and to love mercy. You have not abandoned the work of justice to the halls of power. You have entrusted it to the hands of the faithful. Increase our faithfulness and strengthen our resolve, O God. Make us bold in love, steadfast in truth, and tireless in compassion. Help us not to grow weary in doing good, but to rise with courage, prophets and peacemakers, advocates and intercessors, sowing seeds of your justice even when the ground feels hard. May we be a people of fierce hope, bearing witness to your dream for the world where swords become plowshares, where every person is treated with dignity, and where the very last and the least are lifted up. So with that, we pray this morning for the missing 20 or so girls from Camp Mystic in Texas because of the floods. We pray for the safe travels of those, many in this congregation, traveling on this busy holiday weekend. And in that spirit, we lift up those who are in special need of our prayers, who are within our circles of love and care because of illness, difficulty, hardship, or loss, by the mention of first names just now. the Reverend Tim Chappell. Keep us in a spirit of unity within diversity as we share and pray that which we have been taught, like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. When we embark upon a journey, most of us prepare with a suitcase filled with items that usually go beyond our need, preparing us for the unknown. Jesus' call to discipleship calls us to the risk of traveling lightly, depending on the receptivity of people who will respond to the good news of the gospel. That's risky. That's Jesus. Hear now these words. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest upon that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. And whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one that sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, give me wisdom, discernment, and boldness as I share this morning. Amen. Risk is something most people instinctively try to avoid. Our brains are wired to seek safety, to prefer certainty, and to avoid what feels threatening. And for good reason, It's how we have survived as a species. There are, however, some people who seem to bypass those instincts entirely, or at least partially, like myself. Have you ever heard of Alex Honnold? Anybody recognize that name? If you don't recognize that name, how many of you ever saw a movie, a documentary entitled Free Solo? Nobody saw, just a few saw Free Solo. Wow. Well, he was the main character in that documentary film. And he stunned the world by scaling El Capitan in Yosemite. How many of you have seen El Capitan in Yosemite? All right. 3,000 feet of sheer granite without ropes or safety nets. And he did it alone in less than 4 hours with his best friend Jimmy Chin filming the whole thing. It was heart-stopping. Every move he made had life or death consequences. A misstep meant certain death. It was one of the most extreme examples of human risk-taking ever documented. When asked why he did it, Honnold talks about preparation, but also about the compulsion to live fully and to experience what most of us would never dare try. He knew the risk, he embraced it, but for many of us, just watching the documentary was enough to make our palms sweat and our hearts race. I have my own private theory about this. The level of risk goes up at the same level of accomplishment. The level of risk goes up at the same level of fun and excitement. That's just my own theory. You can take it for what it is. I guess it's my defense for some of the things that I've done that most people would consider risky: flying airplanes, driving 12,000 miles to the Arctic Ocean, going on 1,100-mile snowmobile trips, and my wife could give you other things like heli-skiing in the North Cascades Mountains. Well, you've heard probably enough about that. But the truth is, while Alex's brain might be uniquely wired, most of us are biologically, emotionally, and spiritually oriented toward safety, toward comfort, and toward the familiar. But then we open and have just heard today's gospel reading, and we hear Jesus sending his followers out into the world with little more than the clothes on their backs. Jesus appoints 70 would-be disciples and sends them out in pairs. Go on your way, he says. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. That sounds like a great invitation. Come to church, and then we'll send you out into the the zoo. That's not exactly the same as Coach Dan Campbell giving a pregame speech to his Detroit Lions by saying, "Go get 'em, boys." No money bag. No extra sandals, not even an extra pair of shoes, if you want to put it in modern day thinking, and no guarantee of shelter. Just go. Now let's pause for a minute and imagine ourselves in their shoes, or should we say sandals. Imagine our reaction when Jesus says not to bring the usual comforts. Don't overthink this, just go. It reminds me of my wife, who flew to Florida to see her friend Jean not so long ago on Allegiant Airlines, one of those airlines that the only thing you can take with you other than, other than just a little personal bag would cost you more money. It tickles me to see how my wife thinks that through and takes enough for a week without having to pay anything extra. Although I guess you did pay for a bag the last time, right? Okay. Anyway, some of you have flown those budget airlines. I don't like them. I like to take and prepare. But that's part of what we're talking about this morning. Go, Jesus says, heal the sick, preach, be present, and if people don't receive you, just walk on. This is a portrait of radical vulnerability, of a mission that doesn't wait for perfect conditions. It is not optimized for comfort or efficiency. It's optimized for presence, compassion, and courage. I remember when I was a young teenager and learning to paint, which later became a source of major income in our families, that I would look, you know, for an opportunity with the weather to opt out of the day. "Dad, I think it's going to rain today." And my father would always say something that I've never forgotten. He said, "Go and make it rain you out." He said, "If you're out there on the job and it's raining, you can't paint anymore, then you're good. You can come home and rest." Pretty good advice. Jesus doesn't promise comfort. He promises purpose. And in this scene, we begin to see that a follower of Jesus isn't about hunkering down into safety. It's about being sent. It's about showing up unarmed, unafraid, even when we don't know how we will be received. Today, we live in an age that specializes in convenience and risk management. We carry phones with GPS. How did we ever get to destinations without that? For many of us now, it's hard to remember the days when we had to rely on a paper map. I still buy paper maps, not because I think I have terrible trouble finding places, but I always like to dream about the places I still would like to go. Deanne laughs at me because I get two copies every year of Rand McNally, and especially last year's copy that was the 100th anniversary of Rand McNally maps. But think about that. The GPS is our guiding force. And we, many of us, especially, I shouldn't say us, but younger folks often order their groceries online, delivered to their homes. And we tend to lock every door and check it twice. Now, much of that is good, as we deserve to feel safe in our homes, our churches, and in our communities. But spiritually, emotionally, missionally, we can become so comfortable that we forget how to be courageous and maybe even forget how to be Christian. Jesus' call to travel lightly isn't about packing habits. It's about not letting fear and comfort dictate the boundaries of our love. To follow Jesus means risking rejection, risking an emotional vulnerability, and risking being misunderstood or even ignored. It means choosing to love when it's not safe, to speak truth when it's not popular, and to serve where we might not be welcomed. One of the ways this is acted out is that most of us wait until someone is dead before we share what we love and admire and appreciate about them. So I have a question this morning. Why do we wait? Psychologists weigh in on this. Did some study on it this week, and here's what I found. One of the reasons is vulnerability and fear of rejection. Expressing positive emotions like admiration opens some people up to the possibility of rejection when there is a fear that the feelings we express, the positive feelings that we express toward another person, will not be returned to us. Secondly, and admittedly, the atmosphere of shared grief at a funeral or memorial service evokes deep feelings of admiration and love, which might otherwise be held back. Thirdly, we don't pay enough attention to the meaning of life. And funerals and memorial services serve as stark reminders of life's brevity and the importance of relationships. My wife and I were taken out for breakfast during the time we were in St. Louis by a dear friend who's been here in this church, Reverend Tim Chappell, and his wife, Athena. They treated us to breakfast in a little breakfast spot down the street. And Tim said to us, he said, "You know," he said, "I'm feeling something in my abdomen that doesn't seem normal." And he said, I need to go to the doctor. And I said, "Tim, will you let me know how that turns out?" And he called me this week with his wife in the car. My wife joined on a speakerphone. And he said he has a very large malignant tumor on one of his kidneys. And he's facing some difficult days ahead, and with a dark cloud that may remain with him the rest of his life. Well, I told him that when he would let me know, and he did very quickly, then my instinct was to get down there and spend a little more time with him as one of my dear friends and colleagues in the ministry. He pastors the Clarkston Congregational Church, where Jen's brother once pastored. Sometimes a funeral can be the only vehicle by which individuals reflect on the positive impact the deceased have had in our lives, and can then only verbalize those feelings. There's also, psychologists say, social norms and expectations which also play a role. It is prevalent in the legacy of Northern European immigrants to the U.S., which includes most of us, that undue admiration will lead to negative traits in the other person, like haughtiness or pride. And I'm here to tell you that it is not true, and it is wrong, in my opinion. So, why don't we take the challenge not to wait until a funeral to tell somebody we love and the reasons we admire them, because it will be too late at the funeral. And don't wait until someone's 100th birthday, because it rarely happens. And in this church, in my 8 years, I've only been to one 100th birthday party, but we may have another one coming up soon. Begin the process this week and the practice of verbalizing what we most love and admire about others, sometimes those most intimate in our lives. The fifth thing I think resonates with all of us, and that is that we take people for granted. We rely on an old adage, which isn't always true, that actions speak louder than words. I don't believe that is universally true. I will admit I have some regrets as I have thought about that I have spoken words at a memorial service in this pulpit that I did not communicate fully to the person who is deceased. While we can't always be 100%, I think I can do better. And it may begin with some of my personal conversations with each of you. I don't know if I want to test on that or what, but I have to put myself in the shoes of the one that is receiving the message rather than the one who's giving the message. Notice what Jesus tells the disciples to do when they are not received. Wipe off the dust from your feet and move on. He doesn't say argue with people. He doesn't say try harder and to force good news on resistant ears. He simply says move on. He gives them the freedom from the fear of failure. Rejection is not the end of the mission. It is part of the mission. In a world where so many of us are unwilling to speak out or step up for fear of getting it wrong or not being liked, Jesus offers all of us a gentle truth. We are not responsible for outcomes. We are simply responsible for presence. Sometimes taking the risk means simply showing up in love and letting go of how we think people might respond. Now here's the difficult part of my sermon for me. It's a risk every time something of monumental importance or significant happens in the world, our nation, or even on our community. And I must tell you, as some of you know, that I made a vow to God when I assumed the pastorate here at Mayflower that I would not be silent during the times of difficulty or of something that has happened that we are all aware of, one way or the other. And so I must not be silent today. The risk I take is that I might sound partisan. It is not my attempt. Regardless, I want you to know that while I have strong feelings about the bill just passed in Congress as the worst legislation passed in my lifetime, in my humble opinion, my feelings are exacerbated by how it will harm several folks in this congregation. and how much it will increase the deficit, a total of $5 trillion, signed on by many in Congress who promised to reduce the deficit, and how its benefits are tilted heavily toward those who enjoy the most privilege in this country. Incidentally, when I looked at this bill, Deanna and I will benefit financially from it. Because some of you will be harmed, it is detestable to me, and I would give back every penny of advantage if it go to those least fortunate. So, to put my money where my mouth is, I must dedicate more of my income and more of my time to those very people. A saving grace for me along those lines is that many who voted for it spoke most loudly against it, and it had profound and they had profound reservations, but whose vote was little more than political loyalty. We are not asked to free solo El Capitan, but we are being asked to take risks for the sake of love, starting a conversation when there is difficult subjects to be encountered, befriending someone on the margins, naming injustice when it would be easier to remain silent, and it is always easier to remain silent, giving generously when resources seem tight, praying out loud, serving boldly, loving with no guarantee for return, and that one has lots of rabbit trails for all of us. Beloved community, in a world that prizes security, we follow a leader who sends us out empty-handed but full-hearted, to travel light, to love boldly, to risk joy and grief and rejection and even belonging. Following Jesus won't always feel safe, but it will always be good. So may we go, like the 70, with open hands, grounded hearts, and the courage to risk love in a world that so desperately needs it. Thanks be to God. I see the look on Barb's face like you're forgetting something. Okay. And Marjorie. Turn mine on. Now, I first want to say I'm a pretty proud pastor among pastors here today. Have Pastor Rachel Garris, who is our pastoral intern, and our newest pastor, Pastor Marjorie Briggs, who is our pastor of spiritual care. We'll be getting that word out a little more as we go along. And we also have another pastor you heard just 2 weeks ago. Our pastor emeritus, Dave Banfield. So, very proud to be a pastor among pastors. And while I consider myself a mentor to both, sometimes they mentor me. So may it ever be so. Now we have our communion rituals in front of you. Let us share together in this important moment, gathering on the table and responding to the invitation of our Lord as we share together our mutual confession. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son, amen.
We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far we feel from God, We never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear.
It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We'll ask our communion service to come forward at this time. Let us hear now, all of us, these words of invitation. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment of our lives. And as usual, we ask you to hold the elements until all are served. We will eat the bread and then later drink the cup together.
On the night when he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let us eat together.
After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again."
Let us drink together. We are thankful, so let us pray together our prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen. I'd like to say thanks to our communion servers, our musician who plays the music, and for our pastoral team up here of Rachel and Marjorie.
And Pastor Mark.
Thank you. Thank you. Let there be peace on earth, because that's how Jesus expected us to be and to go, and maybe it's so. May the peace of God rest in all of our souls and in our lives as we bring it to the world. Amen. As you know, at this time during the service, at the close of each service, I always like to tell you what I think of you, and that's easier done corporately than it's individually. So if you just all hang on a minute here, I'm going to go to each one of you. Well, maybe I can find ways to step that game up and be a model of encouragement and example as we express our love and admiration to each other. I do remember, I will tell you this, in this sanctuary on October the 20th, 2019, my mother was here celebrating her 90th birthday, and 45 of the people here that day were her relatives, including me. We went into our Friendship Center and had it was celebrating her life, but we said everything to my mother that was repeated at her funeral. That was a pretty cool thing. So sometimes we need to be reminded of how we take other people for granted. I do want to tell you that I never take this congregation for granted, because you have given so much to me and you offer me a peaceful feeling that perhaps as never before I feel like I'm right where God wants me to be, and that's a great feeling, knowing that I have had the privilege and continue to have the privilege of serving and shepherding and teaching and mostly loving this congregation. May it always be so. God bless you as you go. If you'd like to think about patriotism a little bit from a pastoral perspective, have at it, or have